Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics, our year-end edition, and we are joined by our every year-end guest, now the Attorney General of the State of Missouri, Eric Schmidt. Merry Christmas and welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. I think this was the last show was the first show in your first season, right?
This was 6 years ago in a different studio. We sat right here and had the first episode of This Week in Missouri Politics. Yep. By the way, congratulations, a 22-point win?
Yeah. It was very gratifying, and again, I'm just humbled by
a little surprised, right?
That's well, I didn't think it was going to be that high, yeah. But I'll take it. we felt good going into Election Day, but you never really know, and it worked out well. And I think you've got a great group of people to lead the state. I'm just fortunate. It's not lost on me. I'm the first lawyer in my family ever, so to be the lawyer for 6 million Missourians is something that I'm very grateful about.
You know, you've been in the news all the time when you're Attorney General, but you've been specifically in the news. The election, I think some folks may have moved past it, but there's a couple lawsuits that could impact not just, the thing I noticed you said, not just this election. There's a couple lawsuits out of the state of Texas that might impact this election, but really would impact how elections are done going forward over how the new mail-in voting was done. Different states have different rules, but some of them were pretty liberal, maybe, saying how people can vote.
Yeah, look, free and fair elections that we have here in the United States are the envy of the world. And election integrity is very important. And so one of my jobs as Attorney General is to defend that principle. And when we see that in question in other places, it's important for me to stand up and fight. And so to give you one example, there was a Pennsylvania case, for example. They allowed mail-in balloting. They expanded the ability for people to absentee ballot or mail-in ballot. But it's really important to have those safeguards in place. Like in Missouri, for example, everything has to be received on Election Day. That's what the Pennsylvania legislature said. That was the law. Well, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, well, we know that's what you said, but actually ballots can be received 3 days after. And more than that, they don't even have to be postmarked. We'll assume that if they're received 3 days after the election, they were mailed on Election Day. Well, that's not what the legislature prescribed. The Constitution is very clear that the state legislatures are the ones that set forth election rules. And so really, when we're standing for that principle in the Pennsylvania case or more recently the Texas case, it's about election integrity. You want everybody to vote, but you got to make sure that you count every legal vote, but you don't count illegal votes. It actually diminishes Missouri's vote and Texas's vote if you have illegal votes being cast in other places.
Something I've seen that Donald Trump has done is you ran in 2008 in a very different election climate in the state of Missouri. You ran in a very competitive year. Barack Obama came within a few thousand votes, I guess, of actually winning Missouri. It was competitive. And at that time, there was some African-American turnout was as high as we've ever seen in Missouri. I think Donald Trump has changed some stuff. I think there's a lot of old white guys out there that showed up to vote for Donald Trump that maybe hadn't showed up to vote. Maybe mobilizing them and maybe making it easier for them to vote. It used to be that Republicans wanted to put more rules in, Democrats wanted fewer rules. I'm not sure that anymore that the real push in this state isn't a large, probably older white population. When they get motivated to vote, they'll stand in line for an hour.
Well, look, you saw election turnout at an all-time high, or near all-time highs this time. The president has energized Republicans in Missouri to a degree we've not ever seen, maybe since Reconstruction, okay? And part of that is, I think his message resonates with Missourians. To be the Attorney General and to fight for the rule of law, I think people appreciate that. I think people want to know that their elections are going to be fair, that there's not going to be the kind of things that you're seeing in other states where the courts or other election officials just make up the rules as they go along. They don't require signature verification. They don't require ballots to be received on Election Day. There's a bipartisan commission from a couple of decades ago, the Baker-Carter Commission, that said, look, if you're going to have election fraud, it's going to happen through ballot harvesting, and it's going to happen through absentee ballots when you don't have these important protections.
It's probably going to happen in the cities where there's more ballots, right?
So, look, this is not a new concept. This should be a bipartisan idea that we want to make sure that every legal vote's counted, but illegal votes are not counted.
You see people roll their eyes at stuff like this, but I know these people. I was in Knox County. I was in Perry County 2 weeks ago. Real Missourians care. I think when as many people were out protesting this summer as were out, that many of your constituents, I think you have to listen at least to what they're saying. When there is a lot of people.
It's a very engaged populace. You get to see it because you go around in the Show Me Missouri tour and you get around. When you run statewide, you're not just in one neighborhood.
Yeah.
You are in the Boot Heel and you're in Southwest Missouri and you're in Kirksville. And the sentiments can be very different. That's a strength for us, that cultural diversity. But people want to know that their vote matters. They want to know that it's being counted. They want to know that they're having a free and fair election. They also want to know that people are going to stand up for them. And my job as Attorney General is to stand up for the people. And I'm not going to ever back down from that. That's my job. So, yeah, we're in interesting times. But I think that certainly President Trump has mobilized Republicans, as I said, in a way that we've not seen before. And you saw that again. I mean, people were predicting it to be a tight race, and it wasn't in Missouri.
I just might be a pessimistic hillbilly. I'm pessimistic that any of these lawsuits overturn the election. But I'll tell you, I can straight up tell you there's a lot of folks that like what you're doing. The state is bigger than the Post-Dispatch newsroom. And there's a lot of folks that don't live in that newsroom that are quite happy with what you're doing.
Well, and it stands for a proposition larger than just this one election.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to know that when the legislature says these, because that's the voice, that's expression of the will of the people, right? You don't like your rep, vote for a different rep.
Yep.
But the reps that you have are setting the rules. And they want to know when those rules are set forth that they're going to be followed. And you're not going to have some rogue court or some rogue election official that changes the rules and tries to tip the scales. And so that's what we're fighting against.
So let's talk about the office. I have to say, there's folks that maybe like some of the lawsuits you do, they don't. But the actual condition of the office seems like it's probably the best ran it's ran in a generation. I mean, even people that don't like some of the initiatives you do, they say the office is in a great spot. And I think maybe the evidence of that is some of the high-profile, accomplished folks that have come in to help you out. Talk about the cold case unit and some of the people you've been able to recruit to run that.
Yeah, so we've had a very strident focus on protecting victims in my time in office. And you know, now that you get a full four-year term, we're going to continue to do that, whether it's the Safer Streets Initiative on violent crime, the Safe Kid Initiative, but now the cold case unit. This is a new unit of the office that's going to be under our criminal division. We've got great leadership there with Chris Stevens, who I brought in initially. He does a great job. But we were able to recruit Tom Dittmeyer, who was the former U.S. attorney under Ronald Reagan. He went after the mob in the 80s. Okay, this guy is tough as nails. He went after these mob bombing cases, is an incredibly accomplished prosecutor. Dean Hoag, who prosecuted some of the most high-profile cases in St. Louis, including the Ed Post St. Louis Union Station murder in the late 80s. I mean, these guys are at, you know, the best that Missouri has to offer by way of prosecutors. And we want to continue to go out and recruit those folks so we can bring justice to victims, because the passage of time doesn't diminish that loss for the family. The passage of time does not absolve a murderer. And so we were able to announce our first case last week on that cold case unit, and we're just getting started. We've reached out to the Highway Patrol. We've reached out to local prosecutors, local sheriff departments. Hey, are there cases out there that if you had a different set of eyes, some experienced folks and some resources, we can help you solve? And so I think this is an important thing for us to do. I'm excited about it because I think we're going to be successful.
Something else, it's very hard, I think, for folks. I was in a diner. I was at Lucky's Diner. I had the hot ham and cheese. I'm sitting in there, and I read where you were doing a new unit to combat sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for folks in Lucky's to understand and believe there's sex trafficking going on in Missouri. It is that is a concept I think a lot of people just, it's not part of their world. They don't see that. Explain where that happens and where folks, why it actually does happen, and maybe not in Edina, but in other places, it's something that really affects a lot of Missourians.
Well, I'll give you two examples that have happened recently. One is we have moved to one single hotline number to help coordinate better with Highway Patrol or law enforcement. And there was a recent example on public transportation in Missouri. It's about 6 months ago. Someone who worked for that public transportation entity noticed something because of some of the education that we do. We educate, we have truckers against trafficking, we have law enforcement, victim advocate groups, and we've literally educated thousands of Missourians on, hey, what do you look for? These are the people that might see it, might encounter it at a truck stop or in public transportation, saw it, called the hotline, the Highway Patrol, one of our victim advocates, were able to intervene and get that woman to safety. That's one example. Oak Grove recently, there was a bus, the Highway Patrol was part of that, where you had young kids as part of this. And so it's a dark underworld. And a lot of these happens, you know, in illicit massage parlors, and we're working with landlords on that. It's a dark underworld. There's advertising that takes place on things like Backpage. And so we have our tentacles all over because we made it a priority. And we want to make sure Missouri is the least hospitable place in the country if you're engaged in this kind of illegal activity. But that, again, a lot of this is partnership, Scott. It's working. It's like the Safer Streets Initiative with the U.S. attorneys. It's working with the Highway Patrol. It's working with the FBI Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force, where we have a good relationship. It's just the work that you do to make sure you can accomplish the goals that you have. And we've got a great team to be able to do that.
Tell folks, Wheelie, the last time we were on the show, we were talking about the help you wanted to extend to the St. Louis City with the murder rate.
Mm-hmm.
That rate has continued to go up. It's past last year, which was the record. This will probably be the record this year. Where is that at? Where's the relationship at with the circuit attorney? And are we going to see next session another bill to try to help allow you to extend some resources to help with fight the murders in the city?
We'll see. I mean, that offer of help has been extended to the circuit attorney since I took office, and she's not interested in that. Most prosecutors across the state are. I mean, our special prosecution unit goes around all across the state and prosecutes some of the toughest crimes, and we have a great record, and we'll continue to do that. So that offer remains for any prosecutor in the state, including the circuit attorney. If the legislature wants to give us the ability to prosecute homicides as they were considering in special session, we'll be all for it. But we're going to continue to focus on those relationships, extend that relationship we have with the U.S. Attorney's Office, where we can actually go prosecute violent crime. Mm-hmm. We've got over 450 charges from that partnership now. So we're going to keep doing that because the problem isn't going to go away, and neither am I. We're committed to this. And so, again, a lot of it is just communication, partnership, and then having the people who can go do it. And we know we have that in our office.
That is something, people discount is you really do have a staff right now that's by all accounts top notch, that you can lend those resources. That's got to be a big plus to most counties.
Especially the rural counties in Missouri. Yeah. If there's a triple homicide and we can bring some expertise and we have prosecutors who've done that work before, we want to be helpful. And so we're going to keep doing that. And so those relationships may remain strong. Obviously, our relationship with law enforcement, we've built that trust. They know that I want to be supportive and be helpful. And that's a big part of all this. So that's going to continue. And at the end of the day, I want Missouri to be the safest place in the country for people to pursue their dreams, have a great job, raise a family, do all those things. And people need to be able to feel safe. And that includes people who live in North City and people who live in Boonville and people who live in Butler County.
The luckiest folks. Attorney General Schmidt, thank you so much for joining us. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas.
This is the part of the show where I always tell you to go to showmissouri.com, check out the history of Missouri One County Time. We're in Perryville, the little Rome of the West, the Lutherans and the Catholics, beautiful, beautiful religious architecture. But I want to do a shout out. Roy Temple, friend of the show, been on several times, a fixture in Missouri politics, lost his mother to COVID. She was a fixture in Stoddard County politics forever. Our hearts and thoughts go out to them. We'll be right back after this.
All across Missouri, our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right to work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work. Ameren, Missouri.
Welcome back to our last Opinion Maker panel of 2020. No Malarkey crew, Patrick Lynn, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here. I wore a tie just for you.
Love it. Representative Gretchen Banger, North County, welcome back.
Thank you.
John Bowman, the institution, the former legislator, several things. Congratulations on the award you won from the NAACP.
Thank you very much. It's extremely humbling, but actually it comes from Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yes.
And the lady, the Iron Lady of Jefferson County, the lady that could take three Democrats at one time, no problem. So I have seen you doing several things. There's a mask order in Jefferson County now that you fought off for a while. Now you're suing St. Louis County for what is the shutdown? What is the status of St. Louis County right now?
Well, sure. So first of all, I think it's important to say that in Jefferson County, what we were fighting was to make sure that the Sunshine Law was followed, not the mask ordinance.
Sure.
Jefferson County Health Department can and has enacted a mask request. They don't have any teeth to that mandate, but it's the right thing to do. People should be wearing their masks. And then right now I'm representing, if you take off my representative hat and put on my attorney hat, I am one of the attorneys representing the Missouri Restaurant Association and 40 restaurants suing St. Louis County. And today, we're not recording on Sunday, But today we should be hearing back from the judge about an appeal at the appellate level.
Well, Representative, currently if John and I wanted to go have a cheeseburger or something, you couldn't do that in St. Louis County, correct?
No, at this time you cannot do that unless you could go someplace and sit outside. You could do that. But right now you cannot go inside of a restaurant, and it's unfortunate that we're in this state. It'd be great if every restaurant could provide 6 feet of space so that you were socially distanced and you could go into the restaurant and eat with people that you love with and then leave. So it is unfortunate at this time.
Yeah, I mean, that's allowed in St. Louis City and in Jefferson County, and the restaurants are able to do that, but they're unfortunately, the county executive isn't allowing that and doesn't have the ability to do that.
John and I should go to West Butler County because we can do, we can eat what we want to eat. Representative Bowman, it is an interesting thing. Tell me on the ground. I mean, the rest of the state sees this, and some of them think, oh, that's the models everybody do. Some folks, like where I'm from, think, how do you people live like that? Right. What do folks think about this? Just on the street, I've loved being friends with you because you have friends that are political, business, just regular folks. Give me what that regular guy thinks.
Yeah, there's a strong opinion in the area that I represent, especially that without health, there's no wealth. So they're prioritizing the fact that the numbers are increasing, it's spiking, and the more people who are commingling together is not exactly helping the community. Public health officials have made it clear. The mask options are definitely a need, but open gathering a large number of people have proven in Jefferson County, in St. Charles County, the numbers are spiking. So how can we go against the opinions and the recommendations from the CDC and public health officials when the numbers speak for themselves when we have lost so many lives?
Patrick Lynn, you've lived in Kansas City, you lived in Jeff City. Let's say you and I were at Town Grill and you was explaining to someone how Illinois has rules. I think you have to have a government permit to smile in Illinois. And they're having the same problems they're having in Missouri. Places in rural Missouri that have not bothered their citizens at all have the same problems St. Louis County's having. How do you know what you're trying is working?
I think you have to follow what science says. I think we've had a failure of leadership from D.C. to Jeff City. Our governor won't even put in place the recommendations that he is getting from the Trump White House. He doesn't even want to follow those recommendations. It's hard to see. Everyone likes to go, well, Illinois has all these rules and still this. But you're talking about a state, when you look at Chicago and how dense that is, it's a lot different even from Kansas City and St. Louis. We don't have the density that Chicago has with the high rises and everything else in those big cities. So I think that's a little bit comparing apples and oranges. It's not necessarily a bad idea to have, like, you know, to kind of let local communities decide what's best for them.
But yeah, you're a policy guy. What should be happening right now?
What should be happening, there should be more collaboration by region. I do think, like, so here, like, I think Kansas City, Jackson County, Kansas City, Clay County, maybe Cass County, they should be working together because it's so easy to cross the border.
Sure.
Do different things. I think the same thing here, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, Jefferson County, St. Louis City should be getting together, and the elected officials should be coming up with like a plan that works for all of them because it is so easy to cross the river, to cross a county line. And we've had none of that. And that is a failure of, Democrats and Republicans. I mean, I think one of the biggest problems we've had here in St. Louis that I've seen, I can't speak as much to Kansas City, is that there has been no collaboration between the business and the government, like really trying to figure out what works for everyone. Yes, we don't need restaurants and bars and nightclubs filled with people side by side, but we also have to keep people in business and keep people employed so they can pay their mortgages and their rent. And so they have to, but there's been no collaboration working together.
John, I mean, I think though, if you do some order, what's the use of an order if no one follows it? You can go tell folks in Ripley County, the government says you got to do this. But what if they say no?
Well, then it becomes an issue of where the courts fall on the issue. But the fact is, these are all measures being put in place to help increase safety for all of us. I think Patrick made a very good point. There needs to be a collaboration between government and business. I am not a proponent. I'm an MBA. I want business to survive as well as anyone else. But I also want health measures to be acknowledged and adhered to. And those things are going to get us through this challenging pandemic time, and we'll come out on the other side without this continuous loss of life. I mean, it is just, the numbers are so staggering that we're getting immune to it.
It hit me when I saw Roy Temple's mom pass away. She's a legend in Stoddard County.
Yeah, I've had a family member to pass from it, three former coworkers. So that's when it really gets real to you, when someone you know actually
I guess,
dies.
Representative Coleman, I guess Barrister Coleman is the question. Where will this end? 2 weeks from now, by the time, I guess after Christmas, will these lawsuits work their way through? Will you be able to eat in St. Louis County or not?
Well, the lawsuits are a very slow solution, and right now we have a fight between the political branches. We have the county executive purporting to be able to enact, 236 pages of health orders, and the county council has said, here are the ones that we approve. I don't think that fight is going to wrap up anytime soon. And so in the meantime, we need to all take personal responsibility. We need to make sure we're doing social distancing, make sure you wear your mask. This is a real virus and we need to take it seriously. Luckily, we are seeing the rollout of the vaccine starting to take place soon. And I think that we're going to start to see this second wave start to subside in the near future.
Mr. Bengert, I mean, by token, we had Eric Schmidt earlier. You can argue with his decisions, but he won by a chunk. Sam Page won by a landslide, too. I mean, I think maybe a lot of folks in the county want what he's doing. And I would assume you're going to go into session next month. There's going to be a lot of folks who want to change those laws. What do those changes look like, and how effective will the argument be? Well, they elected him.
I'm not sure how we're going to be able to affect any of the change of those laws. County Executive Page has the right to do what he needs to do in St. Louis County, but I agree that the St. Louis County Council should have say-so on what's taking place, not just one person. I mean, they need to work together, and we go back to the point that he made, to where we all need to be collaborating together. At every level, at the state level, the county level, all of us need to work together with business to get through this, and we are almost at the end. We have the vaccines coming. We just need to be diligent and get through this.
Something tells me some of your colleagues think those laws should be changed. What's that going to look like?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is we have to see, what do we do when you have a county executive who won't follow the laws of the charter and the ordinances that he's bound to follow? He has a duty to defend the charter and to enact those laws, and he's reached up into state statute and pulled another law and said, oh wait, this applies to me, even when it doesn't.
If I had to guess, the Missouri House of Representatives won't say local control is the answer.
I don't think that in this case they're going to say that that's going to be happening when the local officials will not follow their own laws.
John Bowman's so old, he served with Republicans that cared about local control. Patrick Lynn, let's talk about 2020, looking back on a year that's, I don't think anybody's going to smile on as their favorite year. Give me some group or politician that had a good 2020.
I would say the hands-down winner in Missouri is the Republican Party. I think it's
they become win by very, forfeit, though?
Yeah. What's that?
They may have won by forfeit.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I will say that we had a great candidate for governor.
Absolutely.
I think an exceptional candidate for governor. So I think it just shows us, Democrats like to, we've always said, when we've had this theme, if everyone would vote, we'd win every race. Well, that's obviously not true. Because we had, 70% turnout.
We had a great 2020.
Well, Biden, of course, he won, and that's fantastic. Although our president, I don't know what's wrong, but he needs to realize that Biden did win,
the
and that's great
crew
for us.
Out in force.
Yeah, so that's great for us.
You should have told Eric Schmidt that in the hallway. John Bowman had a good 2020.
I think Congressman Clyburn and Stacey Abrams had a very good year.
Absolutely. Hard to argue with that.
Yes.
Representative Coleman, who won 2020?
Well, I think Governor Mike Parson. He has had a steady hand. He came into office under unusual circumstances at best, and has had a pandemic to deal with, riots to deal with, and has just done a really wonderful job. He came in saying, I care about local control, as the head of the Republican Party
in
the
state. He's the last man standing.
And has really done a good job of making sure that each county can address things as they see fit.
I got to say, I think when you look back on who had the political influence, that the endorsements, always the gold standard of the Farm Bureau, then you'd have Missouri Right to Life and the firefighters and folks in NRA. I think the St. Louis City and County Cops and that whole FOP organization, their endorsement has become something that will be legitimately sought after. I think every Republican is going to be beating down their door because of how successful they were this past cycle.
Absolutely. The governor was predicted to win by 5 to 7 points. He blew it out at 18.
Well, some of us predicted more than that, but
fair enough. Well,
let's not even get into the polling process.
Give me, Representative, a prediction for next year.
I think we're going to see some changes, especially in the city of St. Louis, with the elections coming forth with the new voting process that they're going to have in the city. Many candidates that are there. So I think we may see, it may be an exciting race. I think it will be with actually having a primary and a general.
I've never heard of a race done like that in America. So it's going to be interesting at least to just see how it all unfolds.
Yeah. I think there's one other state that does it, and I'm not sure, but I think
it's going to Butler County, you get the most votes, and that's how they decide.
Yeah,
or you duke it out in the alley. What's going to happen next year? Give me a prediction for next year.
I believe President-elect Biden is going to come into office. I think we're seeing now the vaccine's going to get rolled out, and I hope by summer we're getting back to the new normal.
Is Joe Biden going to do an infrastructure package?
Definitely.
What's going to happen next year?
Yeah, I think we move back into a more normal space where we start loving on each other again, eliminate some of this chaos and division that we've been living through and lunacy, and get back to a normal behavior.
Like it. What's going to happen next year?
I don't think it's going to be quite as kumbaya as everybody's predicting. Everybody's saying that Biden is won in a mandate, et cetera. But there's a lot of the country that doesn't think that's true. It's still winding through the courts. So we're going to have to see what the electorate does. And in the House, there's a 5-vote majority for the Democrats. She's only got 2 extra votes.
That's going to be interesting.
It's going to empower
AOC. I guess you can't
AOC.
Have anybody in the cabinet pulled out of there because you need their vote.
Well, they just keep pulling people out. And it's going to empower Cori Bush. It's going to empower AOC. Sure. And I think that's going to give a lot of material for Republicans to run against in 2022.
When I look at my son of knowledge, I do see Joe Biden becoming president next month, though, don't you?
I think that it's looking more likely than not.
It's not that our previous guest isn't a great lawyer, but I just don't see that. I don't see the courts overturning that election.
Well, there's certainly a number of challenges that are in the courts, over 50 that have been filed, and now there's a tax trying to get the electors to make those decisions, and we'll see what happens in the next 2 weeks. It's going to be exciting.
I think tomorrow the electors are going to show up in Missouri at the Capitol, and they're going to vote for Trump, and everybody is going to vote, and Biden's going to be the president. Patrick Lynn, with a minute left, who won this last week of Missouri politics for 2020?
I'll say Patrick Mahomes. He's one of the sports persons of the year for Sports Illustrated, and they keep winning. I think that we're going to have another great 2021 with the Chiefs.
Who won the week?
Adam Wainwright, for sure, with the Clemente, I know I'm probably saying it wrong, award that he received, and you can say it very nicely.
Roberto Clemente.
Yeah. There we go, with that Clemente, award. Fantastic. Clemente, yeah. So now if we can keep him signed, like you said, that
absolutely.
Would be awesome.
That's important. Who won the week?
Ron Richard is showing up tomorrow to vote as an elector into the beautiful Capitol. The renovations are just coming down. It looks
the
fantastic.
The Capitol that he renovated.
It wouldn't
Without
have happened.
Without him,
it would
that
not
Capitol
have
could have fallen in the river.
It was in terrible shape, and he said, no, we have to do the right thing, and he'll never get credit for it, and it's got to feel good walking in to see that work come to fruition.
I think that Ron Ridge is the type that will care more than anybody else that he did it, and he'll know. Who won the week?
I think you're right. I think Jason Tatum, St. Louis owned, with that very nice lucrative contract.
He gets for economic development just moving back here.
Yeah.
You know. I'm going to say the mayor of Jefferson City, Gary Turgeon. She has been a terrific voice on COVID. She always has that mask on, always promotes the mask, but she doesn't order. I think she's been an example to so many people. I personally wear a mask more than I would have because of her example. I want to wish everyone in your family a Merry Christmas, and we will see you in 2021 on This Week in Missouri Politics.
Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.